Good to see you. Glad that you're here. And we are very thankful for the rain. Wow, we need it. But for those of you joining us on Facebook, thank you for being with us this evening. Be sure and leave a comment. We had a wonderful, wonderful time this morning in Vacation Bible School closing service. We knew that probably with the music and all that we would be doing, that probably most of what we would do as far as music was concerned would get blanked out by Facebook. And so that was why we just went ahead and did not broadcast this morning. But we had a wonderful time. We had 127 in morning worship down there this morning. So praise the Lord. A lot of new faces, and we're so glad for that. Remember that the teens will be leaving in the morning at 8 o'clock for teen camp. And Pastor Tyler is ripping and ready and raring and rested. Anyway, I'm sorry, Tyler, I shouldn't have said that. But he's got a whole week of teen camp ahead of him. And so let's be praying for him and pray for the teens as they go. These camps can be moments of change in these kids' lives. And we need to pray for that and pray that God would use that. Not only for their salvation, for their sanctification, but also that God would reveal to them His plan for their lives. And I believe He can do that. And so be sure and remember the teens at teen camp this coming week. Super Summer Something Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. The children are in charge of the evening, and there will be no main meal served. We're just going to have ice cream. And what more do you need? You know? So be sure and remember that. Next Sunday morning, Freedom Celebration and Church Picnic. The Kentucky Mountain Bible College Trio will be with us to sing in the service. And then we're going to have an all-church picnic following down in the Family Life Center with hamburgers, hot dogs, baked beans, all being provided by the church. So bring stuff to go with those items, and that would be great. Remember, Bread of Life, we're not doing a cooked meal this month. We're actually going to be taking something there. Our day is next Saturday, and so be sure if you can help us out with that. We do need about $200 to cover the meal for Bread of Life. A lot of other things are in the newsletter, so be sure if you're not getting that, let us know, and we'll get you the newsletter. But we're so glad that you're here tonight. Hope that the Lord blesses you. Pastor Tyler, come and lead us in some songs.
Well, I don't know what that wrestling is he was talking about. I've got three kids at home, haven't seen any of that in about 6 years. But anyway, it's great to be here. Now let's sing together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power.
Oh.
Father God, we thank you so much for this time that you've given us to gather in your house. God, the world that we live in pulls us in so many different directions and tells us what it means to be successful, what it means to be number one, what it means to get ahead. But God, I pray that in these moments when the world is tugging us in a thousand different directions, that we would be able to say, I would rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today, than men's applause, than anything that could possibly be offered. God, I pray for the time that we have together tonight. God, I pray that you would come and meet with us in this place. There's so many other places we could be on a Sunday night, but Father, we've chosen to be here. And so God, I pray that as your word goes out, you would allow it to accomplish everything that you would have it to accomplish, and that we would leave here tonight knowing that we have been in the presence of God. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for everything that you've done for us. And thank you in advance for everything that you're going to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but it's been one busy week. And we have one Energizer bunny in this church, and that woman just keeps going and going and going. Isn't that right, Energizer Bunny? It was fun. I've been doing Bible school for 30 years now, and that's how we ended up getting into the church. And through revival service, we gave our hearts to the Lord and never looked back since. It's been a good life, and he's taken good care of me, and I know he'll take good care of me till the day he calls me home. So...
day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, then unto each day what he deems best, lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he vain would cheer and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As the days and length will be in measure, this a pledge to me he made. Help me then in every situation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not thy sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet, to take as as from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach that promised land.
I want to speak to you this evening from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 10 down through 12. I told you that we're going to continue with the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday evenings, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you look at verses 13 and 14, we may get to camp there for a little while. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. I mean, those are, we could just camp there for a while. So y'all just hang on. We could probably be in the Sermon on the Mount for a good long while. So just enjoy. And I've never preached all the way through the Sermon on the Mount. So this is something new for me too, and something new for you. That's good news. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 10, Jesus says here, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." As I said just a moment ago, we've been in this upside-down kingdom. We've been talking about that. I was telling somebody the other day that I had been preaching this series. I really thought I had come up with a unique title, only to find out that there are all kinds of books out there by this title. But of all the Beatitudes that we've looked at over the past few weeks, when you come to this final one, you kind of find a very strange paradox here, because it talks here about a relationship between persecution and joy. And really, when you start talking about persecution and joy, those are not two things that we would normally put together. So therefore, it has to be part of this upside-down kingdom that Jesus has established. You look at this, and it's kind of like one fellow said that, he said, "Happy are those who get punched in the nose." I don't know too many of us that would be happy about getting punched in the nose. But yet, basically, Jesus is making the implication here that sooner or later, if you follow after him, there is going to come a point in time in which, so to speak, you do get punched in the nose because of Jesus. There's something else that's kind of different about this beatitude, that you don't have any of the rest of them, because beginning with verse 11 and going to verse 12, you find that Jesus there begins to make commentary on what he has said. He makes explanation as to what he is meaning in verse 10. And really, this is the only place that he does this. But you begin from this point on throughout the rest of the New Testament to begin to find out that Jesus demonstrates, and then the early church begins to demonstrate, all the things that Jesus said they would go through. Jesus told the disciples, he said, "In this world you're going to have trouble." And I'm glad he didn't stop there, because if he had stopped there, that would have been most depressing. But Jesus said, "In this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have what? Overcome the world." Wow. You look at and listen to a lot of preachers sometimes on television, and a whole lot of them, they paint a very rosy picture that if you come to Jesus, you're going to have health, wealth, and prosperity. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth this evening. If you come to Jesus, you're probably going to find quite the opposite of that. Now, that is not I'm not saying that so that you'll walk away from that. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying Jesus has told us this. And so we should not be surprised when things happen in our world. If you don't believe me, go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 is a perfect example of this, because Peter and the other apostles were beaten They had gone before the Sanhedrin. They were beaten. This is soon after the Holy Spirit has been poured out. They were reprimanded not to go out and to say anything for Jesus. But in verse 41 of Acts chapter 5, this is what it says. It says the apostles left the Sanhedrin. Get this. Now remember, they've been beaten. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And the word name there is capitalized, so it's speaking of Jesus. They left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering for the name. If you read our missionary books and you read anything or ever get anything from Voice of the Martyrs, you're going to find out that people suffer in our world quite often for their faith. But one thing you're going to read as you read through those books and as you read through a lot of those things that are told to us in Voice of the Martyrs, these people, as they are going through these kind of situations and circumstances, describe the presence of Jesus. But they also describe the ultimate joy of that experience. Did you hear those words that I just used? The ultimate joy. And those are the things that we have to keep in mind when we start looking about this. When you hear these stories, when you read these stories, you're never going to find out that these people said, "Oh boy, I get to suffer." People who enjoy suffering have problems. But these who are suffering for Jesus are not just suffering for the sake of themselves. They are suffering for a cause that is much greater than they are. And so you have to understand that there is an ultimate joy that they are looking at, and it is that ultimate joy that Jesus is speaking about here when he talks about, "Blessed are those who are persecuted." I want us this evening to look at three things. Well, we're going to look at a whole lot more than that, but at least three main points that I want you to see. The first thing, and these are the same points basically that we've had every time that we've been together when we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount. What kind of persecution brings joy? Well, please understand, this beatitude does not say blessed are the persecuted. Too often, and there are many people who do this, too often a whole lot of people look at this and they think that any time that they experience conflict or any time they're having to bear the burden of Jesus, they are being persecuted. Sometimes the reason people are persecuted is because they are witless witnesses. I'm glad you caught that, you know. Sometimes we do. And I was told one time that I shouldn't say this use this word in the pulpit. I'm going to use it from the pulpit since most of us in here are adults anyway. Sometimes we do stupid things. You know? I mean, we really do. Sometimes we open our mouths when we should keep it shut. Now, that's never my problem. You know? Sometimes we find ourselves in trouble in situations, and we look at that trouble in those situations, and we really begin to think, well, they're doing it because I'm a Christian. No, the reason they're doing it is because we've done something very silly. But I want you to look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He says there, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, now listen to how he clarifies this. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or or even as a meddler. That's what Peter said. That's not what I said, okay? If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed of it. Praise God that you bear that name. There it is again, name. You see, when you really begin to look at this, A real Christian never manufactures their own persecution. It comes about because of the name. It comes about because of who we are serving. Jesus says here, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And the root word there for righteousness really literally means to divide, to be different. And despite what a lot of people think, and most of those who think opposite of this have not read what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't think that I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring division. He said that he had come basically to separate those who would follow him from those who would not. And you look at that. And there are a whole lot of people that have this idea that, oh, Christians are just sitting around singing Kumbaya and everything is wonderful and great. No. If we are going to be what we need to be, there is going to be division at times. Someone said that the world out there always welcomes a compromising Christian, but it hates a Christian who does the will of God. The word righteousness here is really speaking of a right kind of living. And you go back up, beginning with verse 3, as Jesus begins to name off all of these ways in which we are blessed. And you're going to find as you read through those that they build on each other and they finally culminate here in verses 10, 11, and 12. Because if you look at those, they do build on each other, and you have here the right kind of living that Jesus is expecting out of you and out of me. If you live for Jesus, if you give your life to Jesus and give your life for Jesus, and you affirm that commitment in the world in which we live, there will be people who do not like you. There are people around the world tonight that because they have affirmed their commitment to Jesus may not see the light of day tomorrow. That's really persecution for righteousness' sake. Not that someone, you know, tooted their horn at you. Well, what kind of persecution brings joy? Persecution that is brought about because of right living. But then you have to ask your question, well, how is that going to come about? How is that going to come about? Well, as I said, we looked at the word righteousness there in the first point. And when you read this, that word in verse 10, it is persecution, persecuted. And that word can be translated also harassed. Blessed are you when people harass you. And then Jesus, as I said at the beginning, he begins to open this thing up. He just doesn't stop there. He begins to open it up to explain to us when verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The word insult there literally means to cast into someone's teeth. I mean, it's kind of a throwing it back in your face kind of thing. Persecution comes in a lot of different ways. Persecution comes in physical ways. When we were in Baton Rouge, Miss Pat would always bring to us on International Day of the Persecuted Church, she would always show us and talk to us about the persecution and the physical persecution that people are enduring because of their faith. I mean, it can be physical abuse, it can be imprisonment, it can be death. But there's also this persecution that comes about in verbal ways. Harassment. Innuendo, gossip. This is something, this next part is something that our kids, I think, deal with many times more than you and I are dealing with. I was telling somebody just a few minutes ago how long I'd been a pastor. And I also realized just a few minutes ago how long I've been out of high school. We're getting old. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. But sometimes there is this rejection that our kids feel today. Sometimes if they talk about following after Christ, sometimes there is an exclusion. And for kids, many times, those things are very hard to deal with. They don't know how to deal with those kinds of things. And so persecution can come in a lot of different ways. Persecution can come from governments. Rome was a prime example of this. The early church did not, they were not carried off to the skies in flowery beds of ease, as the old song says. They suffered. They died. Their blood was shed because of government persecution. Now, please, I'm not up here tonight saying that we're being persecuted by the government, so don't read that into what I'm saying, okay? But there are totalitarian states out there that they persecute anyone who calls the name of Christ. Right now, in places around the world, there are churches that are meeting underground, so to speak, because if they do any other way, they're going to be put to death. Not by other, by their own government. We need to thank God daily that we have been allowed to be born here and live here with the freedoms that we enjoy. We do not worship our nation, okay? We don't worship our nation, but we do worship the God who allowed this nation to be born and to be brought into existence. We do worship the God who has used this nation and the freedoms that we enjoy in order to reach out to the whole world. Persecution can come from religious extremists. We see in places where Christianity is not tolerated because of other religions. We have missionaries in many of those, and we call them creative access areas. And what those missionaries are doing, they are there doing other work, but while they are there, they are also proclaiming the good news of Jesus to anyone who will listen. I'm going to say something, and you may not like how I'm about to say this, but if you don't like it, then that's okay too. It is in those places that the church is growing faster than it's growing in the United States. Because it means something. We can come in here and we can just go through the motions. We can play church all that we want to, and it not cost us a thing. But it means something where a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ are. They are being persecuted. They are giving their lives for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like people, and like Saul saw Stephen. As Stephen said, as he looked up and he said, "Don't lay this at their charge, and into your hands I commit." There was something about that witness that Saul saw, I think that had a great impact on him. And so when the Lord did speak to him, he was ready. And they're seeing that. And folks, Let me put this in kind of as a side thought. When our lifestyle at times does not create a little bit of discomfort in some form or fashion among people that we know, there are times then we better examine our own lifestyle. Here again, I'm not saying that we ought to be obnoxious in our witness. I'm not saying that we ought to be witless witnesses. I'm not saying those, but I'm saying that if there is something about us that it sometimes doesn't bring a little discomfort, then we probably ought to examine our lifestyle. We ought to look at ourselves. We don't agree with everything that John MacArthur says theologically, but I want to read you something that he did say. He said, "The fact that many professed believers are popular and praised by the world does not indicate that the world has raised its standards, but that many who call themselves by Christ's name have lowered theirs." Leonard Ravenhill talked about the fact that we have gotten used to the dark. I'm sorry, that was Vance Havner. We've gotten used to the dark. Our light doesn't shine, and so therefore, when we get to 13 and 14, we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Well, what's your reward for being persecuted? Look at verse 10, 11, 12 one more time. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus says here that when you are persecuted for right living, yours is the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." When John D. Rockefeller died, a lot of people became real curious about the kind of fortune that he left behind. And one reporter, he, as the illustration read, he was determined to find out. And so he just kept pressing and kept pressing and kept pressing one of Rockefeller's associates. And finally, the associate looked at the man after he said, "How much did he leave behind?" And the man said, "He left all of it." We're all going to leave it behind. The only things that we are going to take with us to heaven are the souls of the people that we have touched along the way. That's it. Nothing else. I mean, I've never preached a funeral that there was a U-Haul behind the hearse. Heard about a guy that wanted all of his money buried with him, so his wife wrote a check and put it in the casket with him. Y'all were a little slow on that one. The truth is, we're not going to take anything with us. But those who live and die by the righteousness that comes by and through Jesus, their reward, he says, is going to be great. And the word action here is immeasurably great. I really believe, and I don't understand all that heaven is going to be. I mean, I don't. I guess the older I get, the more I think about it. I don't understand all that heaven is going to be. I read about it. I know what the Bible says. But I will be honest, I do think about it from time to time. And I have all kinds of questions that I'm not going to have answered here. They're only going to be answered when I wake up on the other side. You know. I don't understand all that Jesus is, it may be insinuating here, but I do believe this, that God is not going to permit all that we have done for his kingdom not to, you know, just to go unnoticed. I mean, when you begin to read, Jesus talks about those who were faithful with what little they had been given, and he says, enter into the joys of the kingdom. I think that we're going to experience things that we cannot even begin to experience. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." And then he says, "So we fix." We fix our eyes. I asked the kids this morning in Sunday school. We kind of were reading a passage that this, and I said, what does it mean to fix? It is amazing to me with what those kids will say from time to time, in a lot of ways. But it's amazing what those kids will say. One of them says immediately, focus. We focus on what, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We're looking beyond the here and the now to what is out there somewhere. If there was anybody who knew persecution intimately, it was the Apostle Paul. And I want you to, I'm going to read this whole passage because I really want you to get the whole thing. Paul tells Timothy, and Timothy is one of my first and second Timothy and Titus are three of my favorite books. Because as a young preacher, I read them. I wanted to know what Paul said about this thing that I was doing. And there in chapter 4, verses 2 through 8, Paul says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, speaking to Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure your hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now listen to how Paul says this. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Just being poured out. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now. Not then. Now. There is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which righteous judge will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his. I'm being poured out. All of the things of my life are now being poured out as an offering to the Lord. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. We have in mind all of these things. I was listening to Pandora. I don't know if you listen to Pandora, and this is not an advertisement for them. But the other day, I had Pandora on it, and it's Tyler's fault. I'd get in the truck with Tyler, and he would have Pandora going, and so now I listen to Pandora, and. I was listening to, what is it, the Collinsworth? Yeah. If you have Pandora, y'all have Pandora, don't you? Yeah, I can see that. Anyway, somebody was playing Mansion Over the Hilltop. And all I could think of as I was listening to Mansion Over the Hilltop being played was Robert Yancey. Now, none of you know Robert Yancey. Robert has already gone on to be with Jesus. Robert lived right behind us. He was just a few months older than I was, and he and Robert and Gary Fair and Brian Gilmer and William Boney all sat on the front row of Cartersville First Congregational Methodist Church. Robert lived right behind us. Robert had a record player. And the record player that he had played 45s. Now, the young folks are going, huh? Now they call it vinyl. But the 45s had the big hole in it. You remember that? And if you really were good, you had the little plastic adapter that went in there so that you could play it on anything. Rather, but the record player that Robert had the big spindle on it, and, you know, it would all those. And he would sit. I guess his grandmother had bought him the little record, and he would sit over there, And he would sing Mansion Over the Hilltop. And bless his heart, the little veins in his neck would pop out. And I thought he's going to die. And he would sing Mansion Over the Hilltop. To the, you know, I really, and I know I've told you this before, I like John 14 in the New International Version better than doing the King James Version. Part of the reason is, you know, I don't want a mansion somewhere. I want to be in the house. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know what that's going to be. Gordon Jensen said, if streets there aren't, my mind just went blank. I didn't write it down. The song is, Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. If walls there weren't jasper, if streets there weren't gold, if mansions would crumble, if folks still grow old, still I'd see everything that I've been longing to see, for Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. I don't understand all of it, but I do hope one day to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Conclusion. I will tell you that it's always better to have God's blessing on you than to have man's approval. And please understand that if you and I live holy lives, at some point in time, it is not going to bring man's approval. But the Bible clearly says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The other thing that you need to remember is, in all of this, is if people reject and ridicule and persecute, their real hatred, their real hostility is not aimed toward you. It is aimed toward Jesus. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. And this is really an upside down kingdom. I mean, it really is. All of these beatitudes go counter to what the world says. And this one is no exception. I mean, this one is talking about being persecuted and that persecution in our lives bringing about joy. And Jesus said, when that happens, that the kingdom of God is ours now. It's not out there somewhere. It is now that we get to experience God's kingdom, God's work in us, through us, for us. That's what this is all about. Blessed are you when men persecute you, insult you, say all kinds of evil against you because of me, he says. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be glad. And I know I'm mixing these verses up. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Boy, this is a strange kingdom, isn't it? Completely upside down. Unlike anything else in our world. The kingdom is now. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we've had to be in your house this evening. We're grateful, Lord, for these who have been here and been a part of this service. Thankful for those who have joined us on Facebook. We're grateful for the rain that we just received, and we're grateful, Lord, for your blessing. Lord, help us not to think that when we do silly things that that's what brings persecution on us. Silly things, it doesn't bring persecution, but righteous living will. But Lord, help us to be so committed, so determined, that we're going to live for you, that it really doesn't matter what happens to us, because ours is already the kingdom. You've already given us everything that is necessary. You've blessed us and helped us. And Lord, when people say insulting things and when they do things that are not good, help us, Lord, to remember that there are people around the world. There are those that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 that have gone on before us, that lived lives that were righteous and holy and have given their very lives. And there are people in our world today, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are giving their very lives for the sake of the kingdom. Help us, O God, that if we face that kind of persecution, that we will have the same fortitude, the same trust to face it with all joy. I pray for our teens tonight and ask you, God, as they prepare to go to camp tomorrow, that you would be with them. I pray for Pastor Tyler. I pray that you'd strengthen him and that you'd help him. And that, Lord, as we go through this week, that in every area of our life that we would show forth Jesus. We thank you for this time we've had together. Go with us, we ask you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Facebook this evening. Be sure and leave a comment that you were with us. And if you guys want to leave a comment, that'll be all right too. God bless you. I hope you have a great week. You're dismissed.